took off in, well, 3 days after John Kennedy was shot. I left Kremlin and went to California, and then from there I flew to Hawaii and got on a ship and went down through the Pacific to, well, I went to Fiji first and then New Zealand. Spent 6 weeks traveling around in New Zealand. I played the guitar quite a bit, so I was playing in pubs and things like that. Then I went on to Australia, and another kid that I'd met on the ship, and I went down to the Snowy Mountain Project, which was a big irrigation project that they were digging these tunnels through the Snowy Mountains. So I worked in the tunnel down there for, I think, 4 weeks. We were trying to make enough money to travel. Then I hitchhiked up all the way up to Cairns.
Tell me about what you had to do in the tunnel.
Well, over here, there's all these regulations about working underground. There's all the union, I suppose. So we go down to apply, and the guy says, would you want to work on the jumbo? I said, sure. He said, you ever worked on the jumbo? I said, oh yeah, back home. You know, well, I had no idea what jumbo was, but I thought, you know, I can figure it out. So, turns out that the tunnel crew, the face people that blow the rock and make the tunnel, when they get to fault rock where it's not stable, they pour a 4-foot curb on each side of the tunnel. And this tunnel was 30 feet wide and 22 feet high, so it was a pretty big tunnel. And then they put in these 6-inch curved I-beams all through where the fault rock is, and they bolt them. They put in a 4x6 beam with an I-bolt under it, and they tighten that all up, and it makes a web that holds this fault rock, and then they go on with the tunneling. Well, the jumbo is this big frame that rolls down the tracks, and it's got a platform that's about, oh, I'd say 15 feet high, and then our job was to loosen these I-bolts, take a sledgehammer and knock the wooden beams out from under the fault rock, and then put the I-bolts back in, and then they roll these big curved forms down there in sections, lock them all together, and put a plywood gasket on each end, and they come with concrete, and you climb through a little hole in the form and hang on these I-bolts, and they pump the concrete in over the top of you, and you climb up and run these vibrators. Well, it's just pitch black. We're 5.5 miles back in the tunnel. The first part is when you knock those beams out, the rock wants to fall. The reason there was a vacancy on the jumbo crew was some German guy got hit in the head with an 18-pound rock, and so he was no longer around there. So you hit the beam, and then you step back under the 6-inch I-beam and hoped it deflected the rock away from you. So when you got it all done, then you put on your rain suit and climb through this little hole, and there's no light. You had to hold on to the I-bolts and slide down on the form till you could get your feet, and then you'd hold on to one and stand on the other, and they'd pump the concrete in over the top, and it'd slide down. Well, the rocks would fall, and then you'd feel them coming kind of down through the wet concrete, so you'd have to move over and let the rocks go by, and this big pump just thump, 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 so you couldn't hear anything. So as the seep line got higher, they would come up and close these little windows till you got right up on top, and then they got you out. Well, if it was a long pour, there might be 4 guys on each side working, and so one time they came up to shut the windows, and here's this guy's hands in the window. So they get a light up there to see, and he's fallen off the I-bolt, and the concrete's right there to his chin, and he's just like this. His eyes are about this big, and so they shut everything down, but he'd been, the vibrator's hanging right beside him, so it just vibrated him in. It took us almost 2 hours to dig him out. We never saw him again. He was gone right after that. So I worked one rotation. You worked I think you worked 8 days and got 2 days and worked 8 days. So I did like almost 4 weeks. And then I had enough money. I left and got out of there because it was, they had a fairly high accident rate. You didn't, most of the people were migrants who didn't speak English and you didn't know what anybody was saying. I said, if they yelled, I ducked. I didn't know if it was tea time or what they were saying. But it was an interesting job. Then I picked tobacco and I picked grapes and stacked cement bags in Darwin. But I played the guitar a lot. And then I teamed up with a kid from Tasmania and we toured all over Australia playing guitars then. And we had a great time. It was just so much fun. Then I left there and went to Singapore. And I went to India. I spent 4 months in India traveling around. And then I hitchhiked overland from India through Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, and Syria, and Turkey, and Bulgaria, and Yugoslavia, into Austria. And then I met a kid from Kremling that I'd gone to high school with, was on the ski patrol at St. Moritz. And I got a job playing the guitar in this swanky hotel in St. Moritz and lived with the ski patrol guys and just had a wonderful winter. It was just fun. Played the guitar for Henry Ford II. He just married this Italian actress. And they were having a big party for all their friends, and they wanted a folk singer. So we'd been living on bologna and cheese at the ski patrol hut, and here's all these people cutting a little piece off these filet mignons and throwing it away. You know, I'm going, I could hardly focus on my singing.
What were some of the songs you sang?
Well. Yeah, a lot of kind of traditional Scottish, Irish, Australian folk songs, and then the Peter, Paul, and Mary was very popular then, and Bob Dylan, and the Kingston Trio, Limelighters, and then I picked up a lot of songs that were kind of old traditional songs from Australia, and learned some Indian songs and just different things. But it was really the greatest thing you could do in traveling because everybody likes music. And if you're interested in their music, it's just a connection. Even if you couldn't speak the language, they would get out their instruments and sing.